Appreciate that. Prayer. As we look into the scripture this morning for a message, I've chosen to speak on the subject that I've been asked to speak on tonight at Winchester. Discipline in the home that develops character. Discipline in the home that develops character. There's certainly, as a young pastor, raising a family myself, I preach this message with some trepidation. But God's word does need to be preached. And I understand that myself and my family, we are a work in progress. So as I bring this message to you, I bring it not because that I feel that in our home we have attained, but simply because of the responsibility that lays on my shoulder to preach the word of God, and responsibility for me to grow as I open myself up to the word of God. The discipline in the home that develops character. You can turn with me for a text verse to Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Proverbs is full of words of wisdom for us on many, many subjects. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says this: train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Turn back with me to Ephesians chapter 6. I'd like to read a few verses there. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And ye fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This subject is certainly very pertinent to any time, any age, and any day. I'd like to look at this title just a little bit. In this verse, train up a child, in Proverbs 22 and verse 6. What does this mean? Train up a child. This word train, in the Hebrew, this Hebrew word is, as I understand it, it's K-H-A-W-N-A-K, Kalnak, which means to narrow. It means to discipline, initiate, dedicate, and train up. It also carries the idea to throttle. To throttle. In other words, you have your hand on the throttle. You are in control of the vehicle. You have your foot on the throttle or your hand on the throttle. You're in control of it. If you ever drove a vehicle that all of a sudden the throttle stuck, well, you all of a sudden feel out of control. Sometimes in home life, it might feel like the throttle stuck. Things are just out of control. It also has the idea of training the pilot, or of the mouth, the pilot part of the mouth. The impact of parental influence in a child's life at a very young age is huge. Is huge. You know, as children come into our homes and they learn to eat, and different foods are introduced into their mouth, and they developed a taste for it, and they enjoy that. And parental direction. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I would like to say also that children have a choice. They have a will. And sometimes parents may blame themselves, but children have a choice. Discipline in the home that develops character. Discipline means training that corrects, molds, or perfects mental ability or moral character. That's what discipline is. Training that corrects, molds, or perfects. It also means punishment. We discipline in the home. I like to say that in one sense, discipline, there are two forms of that. It is, and we'll notice that in a bit as we talk. We train. We try and endeavor to train our children to tidy up their bed when they get up in the morning, keep their room clean. Discipline, like you discipline them. There are disciplines in our life that we train to do. Then there's also punishment for sidestepping that a rule or whatever. What is character? Our title is Discipline in the Home that Develops Character. Character is moral excellence and strength. Hard work builds character. It has been said already, I've heard it said of a farmer who had quite a few boys, and his words were, "A tired boy is a good boy. A tired boy is a good boy." Well, there's balance to that too, but I think I knew what he meant. Hard work builds character. The mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual is character. Character can either be negative or positive. Proverbs depicts the contrast between the character of a fool and that of the wise. The Bible says that a fool is one who despises instruction. The wise is one who hears. I would like to share with you six character pillars. Six character pillars. They are this: respect, responsibility, trustworthiness, empathy, humility, and citizenship. Respect, responsibility, trustworthiness, empathy, humility, and citizenship. You may question, what does citizenship mean? Maybe that's a little bit more difficult to wrap our mind around. Citizenship, you know, you're a citizen of the United States. We're also a citizen of heaven. But a citizenship simply means a team player, one who is on board, in tune with what is happening, a team builder. These are six character pillars. And as we live and do home life, we want to strengthen and train so that children, when they grow up, they are first of all a servant of God and serving Him, a vessel in His hand that He can use. But secondly, that they are a blessing to the community in which they live, and they add value to the community. In other words, their house is one and their property is one, but the yard is mowed and it's clean and it's tidied up and it's not a place that is run down and the grass is very high and it's, you know what I'm trying to say, an asset to the community. The context of our discussion is the home. Discipline implies that there is one who is the disciple and one who is the teacher. Dysfunctional homes. Just like to read something here. Borrow some of my thoughts from Steve Ebersole, had a sermon a number of years ago, a series of meetings up at Lakeview that I attended, and he handed out a book there, and it was helpful as I prepared for this sermon. Messaged him yesterday and asked for his permission to use some of his thoughts. And this is a note that he had. A home without God has dysfunctional rules. When a couple allows carnality in their lives or differences between them to go unresolved, it produces unresolved tension in the home. The following patterns emerge as unspoken rules that everyone learns and follows. Listen to this. Don't talk. Don't trust. Don't show emotions. And don't make a mistake. Unfunctional, dysfunctional homes have unspoken rules that everyone follows. We do not want that in our home. We want to have functional homes. I'll share with you five patterns or five parenting styles. One parenting style is indulgent. The mentality of that parenting style is, your wish is our wish. The structure is chaotic and unpredictable, and so on. Children grow up with the expectation that others will serve me and give what I want. Another parenting style is neglectful. My interest or problems take priority. There's harsh punishments, there's harsh reaction if the child interferes in some way. The outcome, children are often victimized and cannot master their own passions. There is the authoritarian style. The mentality in that home structure is, I am the law of this house. It's patriarchal and controlled by domineering figure. There's strict rules, there's little mercy. The outcome is temporary good impressions, tense personalities with hidden deviancies, looking for love. Then there's the authoritative structure. The mentality is, there is a higher law we all must answer to. There's an obvious order of headship and leadership. And it produces schedule and order. There are sensible rules and reasonable expectations. Punishments are firm, consistent, and predictable. There's tender affection and comfort in distress. The outcome of this type of parenting style is well-adjusted, able to handle adult responsibilities in children. And then there's the abusive parenting style, where you exist for my needs. The atmosphere, the structure is governed by moods of the person, and the rules are constantly changing. Punishments are either none at all, or are harsh and abusive, and governed by anger. It sends confusing mixed signals. The outcome is unpredictable personality with a tendency to reproduce abuse. That's not what we want either. Just sharing a little bit of those with you to get you thinking. What style of parenting do you have in your home? Character, discipline that develops character. Both parent and child are under. In the context of the Christian home, the foundation of the home must be on the Word of God. Both parent and child are under authority. The parent is under the authority of God, and the child is under the authority of his parents until he matures into adulthood and is accountable to God. Parents are in authority under authority. Actions must be governed by the higher authority of God in our life. And Ephesians 6 and verse 4 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Discipline is essential in the development of a child's emotional and moral health. It's a quote that I gleaned in my study. "Lack of discipline puts parents' love in question because it shows a lack of concern for the character development of their children." Another quote. Now I'd like to look next at the call to parents, just real quickly. The call to parents. Number one, it is our responsibility. God brought children into our homes, and it is our responsibility to train them. It is not the school teacher's responsibility, although when they are under her at school, she is responsible for them. But it is the parents' responsibility to train their children. Proverbs 19:18, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." We read the verse in Proverbs 22, verse 6. Fathers, it is our responsibility to take the lead. Ephesians 6 and verse 4, "Fathers, provoke not." And I believe the Bible would draw out, lead out, and point out to us the father's responsibility. In the Jewish culture, the father was responsible. Fathers, today is a call to us to rise to the challenge. And I know how it is. The easy chair feels so good. And we're busy, we're tired, and there's something that needs to be addressed. And it's easy just to say, stay sitting. But we're responsible. I really enjoy the story of Abraham in Genesis chapter 18 and the story of Abraham and Isaac. Well, Genesis chapter, it's later on, but there's a verse in Genesis 18 and verse 19 where God says this of Abraham. He says, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." Fathers, can God say that of me? Can God say that of you, that I know him? I know him. He will command his children and his household after him. Later on, we have the story of Abraham and Isaac, and they're going up to Mount Moriah. And it's just the two of them, and the Bible says they went both of them together, and they were talking, they were communicating. And again, it says later on, and they went both of them together. Father, take the lead in your home. I'd like to look next at understanding the nature of the child. Understanding the nature of the child. You know, a young couple is married, and the Lord blesses them with a newborn child, and you go to visit them, and you hold the child in your arm, and the child looks so innocent and just so beautiful. And in that child, within that child is a living soul. But every child is born with a fallen Adamic nature. The Bible says there is none that does righteous, no, not one. We all are born with the fallen Adamic nature. But however, inside of the child is also born the capacity to develop an intimate, loving relationship with God. There is that lower nature. But there's also the light, and John 1:9 says, about that was the true light which lighteth every man that comes into the world, Jesus Christ. There's that light, there's that ability of an intimate relationship with God. Parental discipline that develops character. We need to understand that foolishness, in Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Wisdom, as Proverbs talks about, lies without. It does not lie within the heart of us. Our heart is deceitful and wicked. We know that as children grow, you don't have to teach them to lie, to cheat, to hit, to be. We know that if they're left to go, they're very mean. Personalities differ. There is direction. A parental responsibility is so important. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Permissive parenting is a child left to himself, where there's no direction and the child can just do what it wants to do. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Effective discipline happens as parents understand the dual nature of their child. Disciplining the lower nature and appealing and connecting with the child's higher nature and calling them to a higher standard, calling them from themselves. You know, a child can become in bondage to their own emotions, bound by their own emotions and become in bondage to that. And it's our responsibility as parents to deliver them from their emotions and to free their conscience and to mold them and to, what is the word? Strengthen their conscience or clear their conscience and tend their conscience in clear lines of right and wrong. Understanding the nature of a child. Before character building discipline happens. It's sort of a different way of saying it. But before character building discipline happens, a child must first be trained to hearken. They have to first be trained to listen, to hear. Proverbs 1:7-9. You do not need to turn there. I'm just going to read a few verses to you. Proverbs 1:7-9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Yes, I'm saying that, but that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that if we despise instruction, we're a fool. Before a child, discipline is... Before character building happens, a child must first be learned. First learn to hearken. First learn to listen. You know, that's a challenge sometimes, isn't it? Maybe in your home, You call the child's name and instantly it's responds. But a child must learn to hearken, learn to listen, to hear the parent. Now I'd like to move next to the bulk of this subject. Discipline in the home that builds character is. I have a few points here. We'll move over these fairly quickly. Discipline in the home that builds character. In other words, and I should have said this at the start of the message. I wanted to, and I failed to say this. Homes have a huge impact on children. The health of the home, the love, the relationship between mom and dad, all that goes on, there's a huge impact on children. But I want to say this. If the home that you have come out of, however dysfunctional or whatever it has been, does not mean at all that you are destined for failure. Because every person who has a heart to want to do right and to serve the Lord will be given direction from Him to achieve that goal. And just because your home, mom and dad were separated, or whatever it is, does not mean that you cannot experience normal, happy family life, and that you will be a terrible person. I just wanted to say that. However, if we have a home, it is our responsibility to train. Number one, a discipline in the home that builds character is consistent in its application. It's consistent in its application. It is a challenge for us as parents to be consistent with discipline. Sometimes we may be tempted to ignore a child's misbehavior because we're tired. Maybe it's not convenient. We're visiting somewhere. Or maybe at that point we're visiting and they embarrass us and we are harsh and abrupt and quick and we snap. Maybe we are tempted to compromise parenting style is to be predictable and rules are to be expected to be followed. Consistent in application. You know, we hear it, don't we? I think we hear it we hear it. Older children will say, well, the younger children, they get away with it. We weren't allowed to do that when we were that age. And perhaps there's some learning, and there is learning that parents have as they grow older. And sometimes maybe things do change a little bit. But consistent in application, what was wrong yesterday is wrong today. The rule we had yesterday is the same today in relation to things. And sometimes things do change, but let's be consistent. The next one, discipline in the home that builds character is administered in love. Administered in love. Ephesians 6, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's administered in love. There is respect for the child. There's respect for the child in relation to the time and place of discipline. I'm thinking more of the corrective style of discipline. I remember years ago, many, many, many years ago, we were with friends. We were sitting around a campfire, and one of the little boys came riding in there on a bike, and I am not sure exactly what happened, but he rode into the group, and I'm not sure if he accidentally ran over somebody or hit somebody's chair or whatever. But his father, for whatever reason, I don't know if the child had trouble with being boisterous or rambunctious, but his father hopped up and administered discipline right there in front of all of us. And I pitied the child. But recently been with them, the young man doesn't seem to be any worse for it. He's a fine young man. But you know what I mean. Love, administered in love. It is never right to be abusive. It's never right to minister in love. Administered with parental restraint. Discipline that is administered out of anger is rarely productive and does not connect with the child's heart. But love for the child. Father, does your heart grieve with your child? If you need to administer discipline because of their misbehavior, do you tear up sometimes? Does it connect with your heart? Or are you connected with the child? Administered in love. In respect for the child, mistakes. Is it a mistake? Or is it an intentional behavior issue? You know, sometimes children, something happens, and it's simply a mistake. They drop the pretty dish on the floor, and it broke. And how do you respond? More could be said on that. I do want to say it. You know, as parents, we must know our children. You know, when a child picks a flower off of mom's beautiful bush, and mom was just so happy about this nice, pretty flower, and the child picks the flower and brings it in all happy and gives it to mom. Here's a flower for you. And the mom said, in mom's heart, she's like, that was my beautiful flower. At that point, it is important that we respond rightly because we can hurt the child by our response. Next point. It must be administered in regard to the offense. Administered in regard to the offense, discipline that builds character. Outright disobedience to a clearly understood rule, lying, cheating, rebellion, and such like require a stronger form of discipline than the behaviors that need guidance but are native to children. Maybe things such as laziness, tardiness, sloppiness, etc. Maybe that comes into more of the bring them up in the nurture and admonition. We admonish them, but perhaps there comes a point when even those things need a more firm hand because, you know, I've told you before, this is not acceptable. But in nature to the offense, discipline with appropriate measures and degrees. I think the child should know what is expected, and the parent should give themselves a boundary in their response, in how they respond. Discipline in the home that builds character is, next point, both corrective and directive. It is corrective in that it frees the conscience from guilt and restores the relationship with the parent. So there is a clearly established rule, and the child knows this rule, but they choose to disobey. They get on the wrong path. They listen to their lower nature, and they get on the wrong path, and now we have a problem. There's guilt. We have a more deeper problem still when mom and dad know what happened, and they know the child has guilt, and they are permissive and just, well, we'll just let it go this time. Now we have a child with a guilty conscience who's not sure what to do about their guilty conscience. And if allowed to go that way, it continues on into more problems. Because their conscience is guilty. And it is the call to parents to free the child's conscience, to restore their conscience back, and to free. And discipline frees the conscience. It is corrective. It is directive when clear instructions are given and expectations are clear. Discipline, directive. It is directive in helping children develop good habits of moral character. Train up a child implies that the child needs to keep climbing the ladder. Train up. It is a sad day for the child who does not receive corrective and directive discipline from his parents, but is allowed to just to do whatever he wants. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Reproofs and instructions are the way of life. It builds character. Discipline that builds character is, next point. It is coupled and must be coupled with parental relationship. Parental relationship. I think that there has been, well, we'll notice that maybe in just a moment. A child should know the peace and joy of relating to mom and dad. A child should know that peace and joy. They should not only know what mom and dad are unhappy by and what the rules are and what makes mom and dad sad and unhappy and things aren't going well. They should also know what makes mom and dad happy. And endeavor to live in that. Children want to make mom and dad happy. They want to have a good time with their parents. When discipline is needed, parents should administer it properly as to clear the air and again, I'm sorry, administer it promptly to clear the air and again restore the relationship. You know, I think we do a disfavor if we allow the child to just struggle with this for a while. Perhaps mother says, you know what, there is a time where mother has to say, you know, when dad comes home, we'll clear this up. And there's certainly, we're not talking about different age groups here, but there's points for that, I'm sure. You know, I have a cousin who has a son who in a accident became paralyzed from his waist down, and he's on a wheelchair. He's a father of a few children, I'm not sure how many it is. I was so impressed with the beautiful scene of being with them. His children are around him. He can't get off his wheelchair and go running after them if they misbehave. But you know what? He just says the word, and they are at his bidding. They do. I'm sure they misbehave, their children. I'm sure they have their struggles. And you know, we can try to go down the road of being a controlling, manipulative parent where the children are going to do everything we want, when we want it right now, and if you better listen. We can go down that road, but it doesn't produce what we want. We can go down the road of relationship, discipline and relationship, and the child enjoys being with us, and they want to make us happy. Coupled with parental relationship. Sometimes the aggressive behavior of a child is indication of his desire for the parent to connect with him. There's been a parent already who was just really struggling with the child's behavior. maybe even getting a little irritated and not sure exactly how to respond, when the parent said, you know what, just come here, let me hold you. I just want to hold you. And it changed the atmosphere. It changed the atmosphere. That's what I'm talking about. Parents, we need wisdom. I would like to preach sometime, and I don't know if I can do this, but I've been thinking about it for quite some time. About hearing the voice of an unspoken language. In other words, there are things that there are outbursts. There are things that children do. There are behaviors that happen in children because of something's going on silently way underneath. And it takes relationship. It takes learning to know the child and being with the child to draw that out. You know, there may be a fear. The child may have a fear. And it may be a fear that's just way out there. But yet they're reacting. And we can punish and we can punish and we can punish. But in the end of the day, we're really not getting to the root. I'm not trying to pour cold water on punishment. I'm just saying, parents, we need to know our child. Do not provoke them to anger, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Engage the child in communication and become involved in his or her life. I spoke about Abraham. Every child should know that they are loved and appreciated and receive words of affirmation. You know, Dad, for you to tell your son and mean it, good job, son. You did well. Does so much for him. For you to tell your daughter that, you've done well. I love you. Means so much. It means so much. All right. I'd like to bring this to a close. I want to quickly just go over what I consider some modern parental influences. And these winds blow against our home. And it's things that I think about and stir your thinking. Modern parental influences. One, seeking the child's counsel in relation to his desires. Yes, there's a certain point where we do that. But there's some young children as they grow up. Real young children. You know, we hear of that, you know, well, do you want this or don't you want this? Would you rather do this or don't you do this? Or do you want this? There's a certain place for that, yes. But in real young children, isn't there also a place where mom and dad say, here, this is yours. This is what you eat today. This is your food. Whether we're directing them. Another influence that I see is not allowing the child the privilege to try and fail. Within safe reasons, of course. But today, there's a culture and there's a voice, there's a culture, there's a pressure that children cannot fail. I think it is good for a father, a mother, I'll use father illustration, little Billy wants to build something, and dad knows that it's just not going to work out. It really isn't. But dad says, you know what? Hey, go ahead, try it. See what happens. And he's his encourager. He's there. He's by him, and little Billy's building. And you know what? There comes the day when, boom, it just didn't work out. And dad knows in his heart that, you know what? I knew it wasn't going to work out. But he's allowing Billy the opportunity to try and to fail. And within Billy and within dad's encouragement and being there with him, something happens in his heart. Something happens within him. Many inventors today have tried and failed over and over again. I don't know what their parents were like. I don't know how they related to them. But I want to say, within safe reasons, of course. We don't allow our children to do things that are unsafe, no. But we must allow them the privilege to try and to fail. Maybe the little girl is not quite the age yet where she can bake a cake, but she's almost. It's really close. But she wants to. She really wants to try it. And mom says, okay, I'll stand by you. Let's try it. And mom sees that. And mom sort of coaches her along. But maybe something does happen and the cake doesn't turn out. At that point, we don't say, well, you did a terrible job. But no, we say, hey, try again. This will be okay. Next one, a child must be allowed to express their feelings of anger and dissatisfaction in order to develop properly. A wind that's blowing. They need to express themselves. We know what the Bible says about that. And maybe another wind is that technology works really well to keep them quiet. Just give them something to watch. Give them videos to watch, and they'll be quiet for a long time. Godly parenting goals. Direct the child through parental guidance, realizing that not all things are pleasant at first. Stand with the child from start to finish. Help the child with his punishment. You know, maybe something happens and the child must make it right. And it does look like a huge job. You know, mom and dad, it is okay for you to get down on the floor and for you to help pick up the toys as you work with the child and as you talk, or to help do something. That's okay. Maybe not all the time, but it's okay to help them bear that punishment. Allow the child the privilege to try and fail. Parental goals. Teach them how to accept disappointments and encourage them to try again. Allow God to teach them what he wants to through difficult child training. Allow God to teach you as a parent what he wants to teach you through difficult child training experiences. It may be that what I'm experiencing in relation to a child, it may be that my approach is not connecting with the child. We must endeavor to have the Bible, to have God as our foundation, to love him. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love and submit to your husbands. Have a strong home life, a strong marriage. And it should be our goal to relate to our children in such a way that directs them to our Heavenly Father, and that they receive him when it is their time, when he calls them. Well, may God help us to discipline our children, to help build their character. We need to be humble. As parents, husbands and wives, as parents, we need to be connected with God's word too, because, you know, more is caught than taught. If we are saying it and not living up to it, that's going to speak volumes. You know, we try to teach our children to share and all those good habits. But then in real life, in real business world, we teach something different, it will not work out in the end. Thank you for your kind attention. May God bless you today. Let us kneel to prayer.